feel gratitude to all of you for participating in tonight's Sunday festival. My special gratitude to Ram Bhadra Prabhu, Satya Mataji, and all the devotees of Sri Radha Govindaji for allowing me this opportunity to offer some service. The essence of life is to serve. We have heard Ram Bhadra Prabhu in his announcements inviting everyone to participate in devotional service. And that is one of the special benedictions of these temples, to give this opportunity for people to come together and understand the value of the greatest of all treasures in life, the opportunity to serve the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam explains, Savai Pungu Sankaro Dharamo Yato Bhaktir Bhokshaji Ahaitiki Aprati Hatha Yajatma Suprasita. That the supreme occupation of all humanity is loving service to the Supreme Lord. Such service must be unmotivated and uninterrupted in order to completely satisfy self. Everyone is looking for satisfaction. The illusory energy is called upon by the name of Maya. Maya means specifically that which is not. What appears to be is not what it is. Maya is the power of illusion that causes us to contradict our very own nature. We are thinking that to accumulate more and more for ourselves, we will enjoy. No doubt, there may be some temporary enjoyment for the mind, for the senses, but it is flickering. Yukalaya mashashvatam, because of the temporary nature of those things, such pleasures are soon to be vanquished by time. Real enjoyment for the true self, the soul, is through service, through devotional service. And the greatest acharyas taught us by this example. The great devotees of the Lord, they did not even concern themselves to enjoy on this spiritual platform. Their concern was to serve. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed, Natanam na janam na sundarim kavitam vajakadisha kamaye mama janamani janamaneshwari bhavatad bhaktira vaitiki pai. That I do not want wealth, I do not want association with the beauty of the opposite sex, I do not want to become famous as a scholar, I do not want followers or prestige, I do not even care for liberation from suffering. My only aspiration is to be engaged in your loving service, birth after birth after birth. Let us take an example of Sri Rupa Goswami. How his life and soul was simply to carry out the order of his guru. Srila Prabhupada explained that anxiety in the service of the Lord is millions and billions and trillions of quadrillions of unlimited times greater than any type of material enjoyment or even the impersonal state of shanti or liberation. People who are suffering in this world, they want peace. Oh, shanti, shanti, shanti. They want peace. But we see the greatest eternal associates of the Lord, their greatest ecstasy is to be in anxiety for Krishna. Because anxiety is an expression of love. If you love someone, you're in anxiety about them. Are you not? It's like these little children are crying. Now for us, it's a disturbance, but for the mother, but for the mother, it's an anxiety. She's concerned. Is that the child needs food? Is the child needs, is there an insect biting the child? I don't know what mothers think, but children are always putting their mothers in anxiety. If the mother didn't love the child, there would be no anxiety. Shut up. Put them in a room close to your lock. And Yashoda Mayi, where was her peace? She was always worried about Krishna. Is Krishna going to be bitten by the dogs, or is he going to be stepped on by the cows, or is he going to be tricked by the thorns? She was always worried about Krishna. And that anxiety was the intensity of the expression of her love. And that anxiety actually brings the highest bliss to the soul when it is directed toward Krishna. And Prabhupada, he would put his devotees in anxiety about devotional service. Because that devotional service is our connection to Krishna. And anxiety does have the tendency to absorb us. Have you had that experience? Which is a more absorbing experience? When everything's going very nicely? Or when there's anxiety? Which absorbs your consciousness, consumes it to a deeper level? Should we take a vote? How many are most absorbed when everything's going better now? You can say Hari Bol if you're more absorbed when there's anxiety. Hari Bol! Let's go. We see some of our student friends. When are you most absorbed in your studies? When you're just, you know, enjoying really nicely learning the subject. Or when you're in anxiety about the exam. Which is more absorbing to the attention? But because Krishna is the source of all pleasure, the source of all love, Krishna is all attractive. In whatever way we are absorbed in Krishna, we experience Krishna. Krishna reciprocates according to our absorption, according to our surrendering, our consciousness. So Rupa Goswami, he was with his brother, the chief ministers of an entire kingdom. They had such magnificent wealth. There was a place called Ramapeli. If any of you have been there, you have seen what a beautiful place it is. They had magnificent palaces and huge estates that they owned. The king, Nawab Hussain Shah, he was so grateful to them because they were so talented and so dedicated that he treated them like his own brothers and actually gave them very, very costly portions of his kingdom. But they left it all to live in Vrindavan, in the service of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Lord Chaitanya gave them 4 instructions. And they took those instructions as their heart and soul. to wander through Vrindavan and find the holy places where Radha and Krishna perform their eternal lila. And to mark those places so that pilgrims can come from all places to visit them and worship them. Also, to take the Vedic literatures and extract the very essence of the Vedic literatures. Pure, unalloyed, loving devotion to the Supreme Person, Krishna. That is the conclusion, the essence, the highest understanding of all knowledge. Our relationship with God and how to live according to that relationship. In pure love. And the highest platform of such pure love is exhibited by the residents of Vrindavan toward Radha Govinda Dev. So they revealed this, the highest mysteries of Vrindavan Lila as the essence of life. Also, to establish temples and the worship of the deity. And by their behavior, to exemplify the perfect behavior of a devotee, especially in the renounced order of life. So for years and years, they did like this. And what did Rupa Goswami do? He wrote Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Upadesha, Lalita Madhava, Govinda Madhava, so many incredible Hamsadutta, so many books extracting the essence, the highest nectar. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu invested in Rupa Goswami's heart his own love of God. Radharani's love for Krishna was invested in Rupa Goswami's heart. This is the content of his books. He had already traveled for years and not only discovered but excavated many of the places, holy places of Vrindavan. And he was living at the place of the Rasalila, Seva Kunj, in the holiest of all holy places. And please understand, what was Vrindavan like 500 years ago? There wasn't one bazaar. There wasn't any guest houses. There wasn't a Koshi hotel. There wasn't a Mathura chemical refinery. The Yamuna was not dammed in Delhi and trickling through with all the polluting sewage coming into it. The Yamuna was flowing wide and magnificent current of crystal clear water with beautiful lotus flowers. Vrindavan was a thick, dense jungle, beautiful forest of kadamba trees, tumbo trees, bakula trees, banyan trees. Wonderful flowers. It's the most beautiful place on earth. Holiest place on earth. No disturbances. This is where he was living. And Rupa Goswami, Raymandana Turita Bhakti Vilochanena, if one's eyes are anointed with the salve of love, one could actually see the Lord's pastimes of Vrindavan. He was there. The supreme enjoyment. And he had done everything that the Lord asked him to do. But one day, he was sitting on the bank of Yamuna in great anxiety. He was lamenting. Because there was one thing the Lord asked him to do that he had not fulfilled. What a wonderful state of consciousness. He's written books that are going to be historical. historically enlightened people for the rest of time. His example is perfect, like light in the age of darkness for people to follow. He's living in Vrindavan. He was young, he was healthy, in Krishna's abode, but he was in anxiety. Because he was not there to enjoy. He was there to be enjoyed. He was there to serve. So he was sitting and lamenting. Then a little cowherd boy came and said, "Oh Goswamiji, why you look sad? You were in Vrindavan, why should you be sad?" He said, "Come sit and I will tell you." He said, "I am only here for one purpose, to carry out the will of my Lord, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He gave me so many projects, and I fulfilled all of them. But there's one thing I have not been able to fulfill. I tried my best, but I have not been able to fulfill it." This was his humility. The tendency of a materialistic person is if we do something very good, we're very proud. Rupa Goswami explains to this little cowherd boy, he said, "Lord Chaitanya told me to establish the temple of Radha Govinda Dev. Because according to the scriptures, according to the local tradition, the prominent deity of this entire sector of Vrindavan is Govinda Dev. He was established by Krishna's great grandson, Vajranath, almost 5,000 years ago. But now the deity is gone. I've been looking. For years I've been searching. I've gone to each of the temples." There wasn't many temples at that time. "Said, I've gone to the bathing ghats. I've gone to the houses of the Brijbasis. I've been inquiring everywhere. But there's no one in all Brajdhan, all of Vrindavan, that has any clue of where Govinda Dev may be. I don't know where else to look. I have not fulfilled the wish of the Lord." This is such an extraordinary example. This is actually real ecstasy. This is the ecstasy of love. The happiness of enjoying is not ecstasy. Ecstasy is the giving of the heart, the giving of the life in the spirit of love. So the little boy said, "Be happy, because I know where Govinda Dev is." "You know where Govinda Dev is?" "Yes, yes, I know where Govinda Dev." He said, "There is a hill called Gomatiya. That is the yoga peak of the sector of Vrindavan. And on that hill, there is a Surabhi cow from the spiritual world that comes every day. And she, without anyone milking her, she just lets her milk flow. Milk just pours from her udder into the ground. Under the ground is Govinda Dev. Come, I will show you." And the little boy took Rupa Goswami by the hand and pulled him and took him to a small hill. And there, at that very moment, was a beautiful white cow with lotus-like eyes. And her milk just was profusely pouring from her milk bag into the ground. Krishna tells in Gita, "Patram pushpam palam doyam yomi bhakta prayaschati." that even if one offers me a fruit of water or a leaf, if it is offered with devotion, with bhakti, I will accept it. Krishna is bhavagrahi. Bhavagrahi means Krishna accepts the intention of our offering. Krishna accepts the attitude or the purpose in which something is offered. And this is all important. It is not the thing, but the attitude of the heart of the devotee that pleases Krishna. Atapunvir vijastrastas varanashvamadivarashas manushtitasya dharamasya samsitira paritosha. Whatever our occupation may be, the perfection of our mind is just to please the Lord. Just to please Krishna. So, this cow, the milk was just going in the ground. Yes? And Govinda Dev was way under the ground. So was he getting the milk? It's hard to say if he got the physical milk. Because it was been going into the ground. Maybe something was soaking through. But it was the cow's love and devotion. She was offering all of her milk right into the ground, but she was offering it to Govinda Dev. So it wasn't the milk that he was satisfied with. It was her intention. It was her love. That is what real spiritual life is about. So the Rupa Goswami saw that. He turned around, and the cowherd boy, the little boy, was gone. Then Rupa Goswami realized that that was Govinda Dev. The little cowherd boy was Govinda Dev. It was Krishna, his Lord and Master, and he didn't recognize him. He didn't offer him obeisances. He didn't offer him prayers. He didn't in any way acknowledge his presence. And Rupa Goswami felt very, very guilty. I'd like to ask some of our little students. If you saw Krishna and he talked to you and held hands with you and you didn't recognize him, would you feel bad?
Yes.
How many of you would feel good? How many would feel bad? Rupa Goswami was like this also.
How very bad.
Krishna was here, I didn't offer him anything. He fell unconscious. That's how bad he felt. And then he woke up to consciousness and he was thinking that the Lord has given me service. So he put aside all his lamentation to perform this service. So he went and contacted some of the local villagers and told them that Govinda Dev is under this ground. I have seen the cows coming and giving milk every day just under this ground. Bring your digging tools and let us uncover him. So they were very excited and they all brought their shovels and picks and everything and they started digging into the ground and digging into the ground and digging into the ground. And there was the beautiful form of Govinda. He was more beautiful than hundreds and millions of Kandarpas or Cupids. The Devatas from the heavenly world began to shower flowers upon him and sing his glories. And all the Brijavasis were entranced in their ecstasy to see the beauty of the form of the Lord. And they brought the Lord out. And established a little temple for him. And began worshiping the Lord very simple. But he was so excited. First thing he did is wrote a letter to Lord Chaitanya. Now in those days, they didn't have emails. They didn't have cell phones. They didn't even have phones. They didn't even have postal service. Does that sound nice? Very nice. They lived, they survived, they were happy. So the way to get a message is you have to find someone who's willing to carry the message and walk to deliver it. And Vrindavan to Jagannath Puri is approximately, it's over 1,000 kilometers. To get there by train takes a couple of days. So some of these messengers took the message, the letter of Rupa Goswami, and walked all the way to Jagannath Puri. And meanwhile, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was in his room in Puri, Gambira, and he was telling some of his associates that I have not heard anything from Rupa Goswami in so long time. I wonder why he's not writing me. And right when he said that, I have a letter from Rupa Goswami. And he opened the letter. And oh, how the Lord was happy. Rupa Goswami explained how after so many years of searching, he had discovered Radha Govinda Dev. Lord Chaitanya was so happy. He explained all the details to Lord Chaitanya and how now the Seva Puja, the worship, was going on. Lord Chaitanya was so blissful that he called for his own personal servant, Kashishwar Pandit, and told him, you should go to Vrindavan and assist Rupa Goswami in serving Govinda Dev for the rest of your life. You think Kashishwar Pandit was happy to hear that?
Yeah.
How many think he was happy?
No.
How many think he was not happy?
Maybe not.
Why would he not be happy? Wouldn't you like to serve Radha Govinda?
Yeah.
So then he was happy. Lord Chaitanya had two personal assistants, Govinda and Kashishwar Pandit. They were both his god brothers, and his guru ordered both of them, when he was on his deathbed, just before he departed from this world, he said, after I leave this mortal world, you should both engage in Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's service, personal service. So they both came to Puri and engaged day and night in his service. Kashishwar Pandit was a very strong man. And devotional service means yukta vairagya, what you have you use in Krishna's service. Whoever you are, whatever you know how to do, we can use it in Krishna's service. There's no need to deny our talents or our natural qualities. So because he was strong, when Lord Chaitanya would go to the temple, there were thousands and thousands of people, and he would make a nice pathway for Krishna. And he would also carry things for Lord Chaitanya. And he would do so many nice services. You know what he was expert at? Distributing prasad. When Lord Chaitanya would sit down to take prasad with the devotees, Kashishwar Pandit would be so eager to serve Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and serve all the Vaishnavas. Sometimes Lord Chaitanya himself would want to serve it. There was a couple problems. One is no devotees would eat until after he ate. So he was serving and they wouldn't eat. And the other problem is he was so eager
to serve the devotees. His eagerness was so much that one handful of prasad was no less than the five people could eat. It wasn't just because his hand was big. It was because of his eagerness. This is another great quality of service. Service means to be enthusiastic, to be eager. An example. If I come to serve, Ananta Prabhu. If I come to serve and I say, Ananta Prabhu, I have a girl with you. Her name is garland. I've been waiting all this time for you. You're late. Just take the garland. Will you be happy?
Yes.
You're not supposed to say. What if somebody else does that? But if Ananta comes, oh, I've been waiting so long to give you this garland. Please accept this garland. With all my heart and soul, I offer you this garland. So it's not the thing you give, it's the enthusiasm, it's the eagerness to please the object of service. This is what bhakti is about. Being eager, being enthusiastic to serve Krishna. Being enthusiastic in everything we do. Hearing about Krishna is service to Krishna. We should be enthusiastic to hear. We should be enthusiastic to chant. When we're chanting Krishna's name, we're reciprocating with Krishna. We're offering our attention, our consciousness, we're offering our heart to Krishna when we're chanting. That's what chanting is about. It's not very pleasing to Krishna. But if we're enthusiastic, Krishna's really enthusiastic, and that enthusiasm is service. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he was so enthusiastic to serve his devotees that his hand would hold no less than what five of them could eat. One portion. So Swarup Damodar Goswami Kashishwar Pandit, they said, Lord Chaitanya, let us serve. Please let us serve. Nobody can eat. Just let us serve. You sit down and that's the best thing you can do. But Kashishwara was very, very enthusiastic to serve the Vaishnavas. He was always in Lord Chaitanya's association. So if you were Lord Chaitanya's personal servant all day, every day, would you want to go serve the deity of Govinda? Yeah. Kashishwara Pandit went to Nibbana. He used to, Govinda Dev is in you, my Lord. So he was crying. He was weeping with the thought that he would have to be separated from the Lord. The Lord Chaitanya was very kind to him. And the Lord made a special deity just for Kashishwara. It was a deity of himself. It was Krishna playing flute. The Lord Chaitanya explained that this form of Krishna, it's my personal form. And when you worship this form, you will see me personally and directly. The name of the deity, Gaura Govinda. He took that deity to Vrindavan and became Pujari for Radha Govinda Dev and worshiped the little deity of Gaura Govinda every day beside Govinda Dev. Through this story,
we see how the great saints, not only are they not really concerned with enjoying of this material world, but they're not even concerned with enjoying the spiritual world. They're concerned with service, with offering love. Srila Prabhupada was in that same mood. He was in the line of Rupa Goswami. To be in the line of Rupa Goswami is not just a material conception based simply on the line of our Sampradaya. It really means being in the line of Rupa Goswami, understanding the spirit of the great Acharyas in our Sampradaya, receiving that spirit, following the steps of these great saints. So Srila Prabhupada, he was living for about 6 years in the holiest part of the holiest place. He was living at Seva Kunj, the place of Radha and Krishna's pinnacle lila, the Rasa lila in Vrindavan, at the Radhadamodar temple. And every day he was going to the Samadhi, the shrine of Rupa Goswami, where Rupa Goswami's personal presence is most felt in the entire universe. And he was worshipping Rupa Goswami and praying to Rupa Goswami. And what was his prayer? Srila Prabhupada was 69 years old. He had finished up all of his material responsibilities. He was living in the holiest place with the holiest people. He had everything. But he was in anxiety. The anxiety of pure compassion. Because his spiritual master wanted him to spread Rupa Goswami and Lord Chaitanya's message all over the world. He left Vrindavan. He prepared himself for years for this mission. And then he left Vrindavan. Went to Bombay. And then from Bombay, he got a free ticket, Jaladuta, a cargo ship. He had to take train. He had to take train from Bombay to Calcutta. And while at Calcutta, he writes in his diary, early one morning, he went to Mayapur. There he went to the Samadhi Mandir of his Gurudev, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, and begged for his blessings to carry out his mission. Then that evening he went back to Calcutta. And on Friday the 13th, most auspicious. Friday the 13th of August, 1965, Prabhupada boarded the Jaladuta. And there were only a few people there. There were only four people there to see him, including his son, Vrindavan Chandra. Just a couple of weeks ago, I took prasad at the home of Vrindavan Chandra's daughter, Gauri. She's Prabhupada's granddaughter. Have you ever met her? She lives in Prabhupada's Sri Mayapur Chandradaya Mandir. When she was a little baby, her father, Vrindavan Chandra, brought her to Prabhupada. Now Prabhupada was the Acharya of the Hare Krishna movement. And he brought the little baby, and Prabhupada picked up the baby and held her in his arms. And did what grandfathers do, he just went,
chanted for her, chanted the holy names, named her glory, the name of Sri Radharani, and gave her all the nice gifts. She still has those gifts. I asked her, do you remember when you were a little baby and Prabhupada held? She said, I don't remember, but I still have the gifts. But when we came to her house, very simple house, I was with Brahmatirtha Prabhu and Matsyamrita Prabhu, two wonderful god brothers. And so humble, she said, actually, I do not know how to cook. But because you are my grandfather's disciples coming to my house, all day long, I've been praying to my grandfather, praying to my grandfather's blessings that I could cook nightly to please all of you. She's a wonderful woman. She's an initiated disciple of His Holiness Jagatak Swami Maharaj also. So, Vrindavan Chandra Day was there. Years later, I asked him, what were you thinking when your father, 69 years old, was days away from 70, had no money, had no friends, nothing, he was going on a cargo ship to New York City? What were you thinking when you saw him walking up the steps? And he said, I was proud of my father. So when Prabhupada was crossing the Arabian Sea, he had a series of heart attacks, seasickness, many discomforts, and he was alone. There was no doctor. There was no family members. He just had a little cabin on a cargo ship, alone. And later on, he's writing in his diary that he had just passed through a near-death experience. By Krishna's grace, he survived. And then he writes that I am so far from Vrindavan, so very, very far from Govinda, Gopinath, Radha Damodar, all alone. But I am very happy, because this is the desire of my spiritual master. This is what Rupa Luka means. This is following in the footsteps of Rupa Goswami. To have this selfless service attitude. To always be aspiring to give satisfaction to Guru, to the Vaishnavas, to Sri Sri Radha Govinda. And Prabhupada, he was very expert at keeping the devotees very, very much immersed in that spirit of service. Rupa Goswami explains that in comparison to the vast ocean of happiness in the pure heart serving Krishna, the happiness of even mukti or liberation is not even a drop. So if we really, really want to understand the higher realms of Krishna consciousness, it is not through our academics. It is not through memorization. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, you cannot crash your way into the spiritual world. We have to attract Krishna's mercy through our very
humble, sincere, enthusiastic, selfless service attitude. Because that is our constitutional original nature. We are the servants of the Lord. Muslims to serve. Prabhupada never ever translated bhakti as devotion alone. Prabhupada translated it as devotional service. Because devotion only has true meaning in the spirit of servitude. And in that service attitude, when we chant the holy names, the Lord, who is none different than His name, fully reciprocates with us, reveals Himself. Reveals His abode, reveals His beauty, reveals His pastimes. Everything is within the name, because the name is not different than Krishna. Prabhupada explains that Krishna is the complete whole, who is the proprietor of everything that exists and the controller of all energies. This material energy, Krishna can manifest Himself completely in material energy. He can accept our offerings through material energy because He's the controller of material energy. For Him, there's no difference between material energy or spiritual energy. He can manifest Himself in anything, anywhere, anytime. Therefore, the deities of Radha Govinda, although they appear to be material elements, Krishna is the controller of everything. He has supreme independent free will. If it is His wish, and it is His wish to reciprocate with His devotees' love, He manifests as those deities. It's not that Krishna is in the deity. Krishna is the deity. Even in what appears to be a material form, Krishna can manifest His Satchidananda Vigraha, His spiritual form of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Remandana Tumita Bhakti Vilochane. And according to the degree of our devotion, we can see Krishna. We can see ourselves. The Lord is not different than the name. Namaste Tamani Krishna Chaitanya Rastika. According to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and according to the holy scriptures, it is explained, Harinam, 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 Eva Kevalam, Kalo Nasteva, 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 Gatirati. That in this age of Kali, there is no other way of attaining the ultimate perfection except through chanting the names of Lord Hari. So I'm going to end within a few seconds. Please be patient. What does that mean? Does that mean meditation can get you anywhere? No, meditation can give you peace. Meditation can get you mystic powers. Pranayama can help you control the mind. Performing good deeds and charity and good works can actually give you very, very good karmas. Can give you a very good, pleasant life. Performing asanas can give you a healthy body that's harmonious more with the subtle energies. Performing certain tapasyas, meditation, pranayama, you can get mystic powers and perform amazing miracles. By studying the scriptures very carefully and discriminating between matter and spirit and always living according to the spiritual platform, we can achieve liberation, mukti. However, to awaken the original, essential nature of the soul, divine love, pure, unalloyed love of God, there's only one way, and that's chanting the name of Hari. Harinam, Harinam, Harinam eva kevalam. Nasteva. Kalonasteva, Nasteva. In this age, that's the meaning. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explained the essence of all religion is to chant the holy name of the Lord and to have a spirit of compassion to others. But we learn from these beautiful examples that we have shared tonight that we cannot be in a disposition of mind to access the full mercy of the holy name unless we have this very sincere, honest, earnest, enthusiastic service attitude. Vinada Pisunichena Padorti Vasayishna Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sadhana. Krishna will manifest himself within the name when we are humble like the blade of grass, when we are tolerant like a tree, when we offer all respect to others and expect none in return, then we can chant the holy name constantly. There is no substitute for that. Whatever other arrangements we make, whatever else we learn, whatever other services we do, there's no substitute. Ultimately, through everything we're doing in devotional service, we have to come to this platform to chant the holy name purely. Renata Pisunichena, Paroni Vasayashina. Amani Namadeya Kirtanyasana. That is why Lord Chaitanya instructed, take this verse and string it on the necklace of the holy name and wear it always. That means this service attitude is inseparable from our chanting. Chanting is not a mechanical process. This is the wonderful gift that Prabhupada has blessed New York with by establishing the temple of Sri Sri Radha Govindadev. And this is the gift that we come together to inspire one another, encourage one another to seek as the ultimate treasure of life. There's nothing so valuable, there's nothing so precious, there's no greater priority that we should hold sacred in our lives than the ultimate goal. Not only that, he